Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of The Growl, presented by the Chagrin Falls High School Tiger Times. Today is Wednesday, November 13th. We'll start off with our weekly news update, and this week we have something a little bit different than usual. Carolyn Banco will be joining me to discuss the November edition's Hot Takes editorial, in which two students each argue for a certain side of an issue. Then Alexis Christie will tell us about Instagram's new likes policy, and we'll wrap up with a sports update. First up is the news. As usual, we're going to start off with an impeachment proceeding update. This seems to be probably the biggest event that's happening right now. But after weeks of closed-door testimony, the House Intelligence Committee is starting its hearings in its investigation into President Trump's interactions with Ukraine. According to the Washington Post, Bill Taylor, who is acting U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, will testify today. Now, regarding DACA, the Supreme Court is deliberating whether or not President Obama's DACA program, which stands for Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, is constitutional. The program provided deferred deportation for children brought illegally into the country as children. In Hong Kong, protests have begun anew after police shot a 21-year-old man point blank and violence erupted in the streets. On a less political note, Disney recently released its Disney Plus streaming service, which was met with so much demand that the app actually experienced glitches, and it exceeded Disney's expectations overall. So we'll have to see how that affects Netflix and Amazon and other streaming services. Now Carolyn Banco is going to join me to discuss our Hot Takes article about team tests in the Chagrin Falls Math Department. Every month, or a couple times a year, we have something called Hot Takes in the editorial page, and that's when we have one issue that can be divisive, and then we have two people discuss the two different sides of the problem. So this month, the issue is team tests in the Chagrin Falls Math Department, and Carolyn is writing against team tests, and I wrote an article in favor of team tests, so we're just going to discuss our stances. So for a bit of background, the Chagrin Falls Math Department uses something called team tests. They're a form of assessment where students work together on a test, and usually the tests are a little bit harder than regular individual assessments, and they usually have fewer problems. So instead of having 10 to 15 questions on a regular test, team tests have 3 to 4 that are harder and longer and focus more on problem solving and critical thinking, and less on memorization or solving problems similar to what a student would see in homework. And teachers at CFHS do their team tests differently, and some let students work together for the entirety of the team test. Others have students work individually on different problems and then reconvene at certain points. So, Carolyn, tell us a little bit about your stance.
Okay, so basically, as a student in Chagrin and someone who has experienced multiple forms of team tests and multiple different teachers' grading styles and such, basically my experience is that often a team test can have a pretty big effect on someone's grade, even though teachers typically do weight them less than individual tests or homework points or such other like areas of the class. They can have a pretty profound effect depending on the strength of the team. So as Maggie had said when she was introducing it, sometimes teams get to work together on an entire test, which can be beneficial, but sometimes teams are weaker than other teams just because of people's different strengths and weaknesses. So I think sometimes people can fall into relying too much on one team member who they view as more intelligent than themselves, and teams can get carried by people. And I also don't think team tests accurately reflect an individual person's grade. So ultimately, other people are influencing the grades of their peers. So basically, on the ones where people work together, if you have someone who is really, really strong in critical thinking and problem solving, they might carry the team and earn them a higher grade than, say, a team without that person. So I think people who might not fully understand concepts might have an inflated grade because of someone on their team. And on the flip side of that, where there are team tests where you have to submit certain people, like you have to submit one page from each person's test, and you can't work together the entire time, that could easily deflate someone's grade. Because say you fill out the entire test and you get everything right, but because of that rule, you have to submit one of your team members' tests and say they didn't get everything right, then that's also not accurately representing how much you understand. So basically, I think team tests basically can just inflate and deflate people's grades. It doesn't always have a huge effect, but it definitely can have negative or positive effects. So,
yeah, I think the way Mr. Moss, for example, does his team tests is really nice. Like he makes it so that your grade book is divided into different sections with homework grades, individual test grades, and then team test grades. And he makes it so that your team test grade can never be lower than your individual test grade at the end of the quarter, which is nice because it guarantees that the team test grades are never really dragging down your grade that much. But I think on the whole, when executed properly, team tests can be a good tool for learning. They teach collaboration, first of all, which is a great life skill. And I think it's something that's often lacking in math and science and STEM. I think usually when we think about discussion or cooperation, we think of English classes where we all sit and discuss books or other more humanities-focused classes versus math. So I think it's good to get some of that cooperation into STEM fields. I also think that it allows I know Carolyn mentioned that sometimes one person can end up carrying the team. And while I agree with that, I think sometimes it's actually a valuable skill for someone to learn how to cooperate with other people who might not be as good at math as they are. So if someone is really brilliant in math and they're with teammates who are struggling a little bit more, it forces that person to learn how to take their thoughts and simplify them and become a good teacher, which is also a really valuable skill, is being able to distill what you're thinking into something that can be easily understand or understood by someone else. So I think on the whole, team tests are good because they encourage cooperation. But as Carolyn said, some forms of team tests, when each person has to do an individual problem and then turn in that problem and then there's not as much cooperation, that undermines the value of the team test, because the value is really that you're forcing people to work together on harder problems. And it allows for more problem solving, and it's almost like a puzzle. But if people aren't working together, and it's the style of team test where each person works on an individual problem and then turns that in, then I think that basically makes it so that one person is responsible for other people's mistakes, which isn't a valuable learning experience.
Yeah, I 100% agree on the collaboration side of it. It definitely does force people to work together and think out their problems. And then, like you said, it also forces those who are brilliant in math to explain their thinking, which I think sometimes is hard, especially, like, I know I personally struggle with that. So being forced to explain things is definitely challenging, which is good. But on the flip side, the collaboration is also something that's constant throughout just regular everyday math, because we are so oriented on this team-focused style of learning in math. So I think the collaboration that you're referring to, I agree, does come strongly in the team test, but it also can come just from daily class. Another thing I wrote a little bit about is just the effects of it on mental health, because I know a lot of students can get insecure and not feel confident in themselves, especially in the math field. So I think to be more specific about that, the style where you do one problem and you turn it in, or you try and do the whole test and you turn in your best areas, I think sometimes it can have diminishing effects on people's mental health. If, say, a team member says, oh, how about you do number one? It's pretty easy. That kind of implies that they can't handle the harder harder problems, which can have negative effects. I mean, some people might accept that they aren't that good at math and they want to do the easier problems, but some students may feel offended or may feel upset about that, which could have negative effects. And on the flip side, if someone says, oh, you have to do number four because it's the hardest one, that can then make that person feel like they're carrying the team and could be a lot of pressure on them, or it could inflate their ego. So I think it can have both effects on people. So
yeah, I agree with all of that. I think definitely one thing we agree on is that team tests should be the style where people are working together for the duration of the period on harder problems. One thing that's nice about team tests, it allows teachers to give problems that they might not be able to give on individual tests because they're harder or they're more like puzzles that you have to solve versus math problems that resemble what was taught in class. But I do think that when teachers start to give tests that are more focused on individual working time and then brief periods of discussion with classmates, that starts to be less productive. So yeah, I completely agree with that. So what do you think is the best form of team tests? Do you think there is a way that team tests should be executed properly, or do you think that they should just be done away with entirely?
No, I don't think they should be done away with. I think you had mentioned earlier Mr. Moss's style. I think his style is pretty effective, in my opinion. Like you said, I think when teams can collaborate the entire time, I think that's really effective because it does force people to share their learning. And I also think it gives people the opportunity to challenge their mind. And even students who do understand the concepts but maybe struggle with the more abstract parts or just like that one step above understanding, I think team tests can be really efficient and really effective. So I definitely think as long as it's not having a profound effect on your grade, I think they can be helpful because, like you said, the collaborative side of it is definitely a skill set that is lacking in the STEM field. So it's definitely a way to increase that.
Yeah, I think when executed well, they can be kind of almost like a fun experience just because everyone brings something different to the table. And it's kind of cool. Like, I always enjoy when we have tough problems seeing how everyone else approaches it because they'll approach it in very different styles than I do. But thank you so much, Carolyn.
Of course.
You want to read our full articles, they will be in the November edition of the Tiger Times in the hot take section. Staff writer senior Alexis Christie about an article she wrote about Instagram's new policy. So, Lexi, what is that new policy that the app is pursuing?
So, they just announced that in the United States, they're going to start testing hiding likes from profiles. So in public posts in people's feeds and on their website and even within a user's profile, you won't be able to see how many likes someone else's post has gotten. But an individual user can still see how many likes their own posts are getting. It just won't be sort of on the post for everyone else to see. So only the user will be able to see how many likes they have.
Was this a decision from executives at Instagram, or do you know what the reasoning was that this decision was enacted?
So the announcement was made by the CEO, but I'm not sure exactly who made the decision, but I would assume that it is the higher-ups at Instagram. And it sounds like from what they've been saying, they kind of wanted to make it a less competitive space and make it more about actually interacting with other people and sharing things that users are passionate about rather than trying to compete for the most likes.
What seems to be the public reaction to this new update?
So they've actually tested the policy in a couple other countries, and in those countries, the reaction has actually been really largely positive because people feel a lot more, included because they don't have to worry about how many likes they're getting versus how many likes another similar account might be getting. There are a lot of smaller influencers, you might call them, who are not as excited about this policy because for a lot of them, how many likes they're getting is how they get brand deals and how they get noticed by larger companies that they can then have partnerships with. So it's going to be harder for them. But other than that, it's been largely positive.
Do you like the idea?
I think it's really interesting. I don't really have an opinion one way or the other because I don't really use Instagram for getting a ton of likes. I just kind of use it to look at other people's posts. But I definitely think it'll be interesting, and I like that it seems to encourage more accessibility for everyone and just more like sharing for fun rather than competing.
Yeah, I have to wonder if the end goal of the policy is to make Instagram less competitive, if ultimately it won't matter much because people still have the number of followers and the number of comments.
Exactly.
But we'll see. I think it's an interesting thing to try and definitely kind of a pioneering move from a social networking site.
For sure.
Do you think the removal of likes will hurt Instagram as an app? I know you mentioned that some influencers are upset that they might not be getting as much publicity or attention.
I think in the long run, it won't hurt them too much because I think for the most part, people don't really care one way or the other. Most of the users, at least. I think while they might lose a couple users here and there, or a couple businesses, maybe smaller businesses who use the app and need those likes to be shown. They might lose some popularity with those people, but I think largely most of their users won't be fazed.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We're just going to have to wait and see what happens, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lexi. And now over to our sports editors with a brief sports update.
Hi, it's Emma Livingston.
And Brett Rodusky.
And we're here with your sports update. Nothing really going on. We're at the start of our winter sports season. Both hockey and basketball have started scrimmages. Swimming and wrestling have started practicing, and we hope to see a good outlook for the winter sports teams.
That wraps up this week's episode of The Growl, presented to you by the Chagrin Falls High School Tiger Times. If you're new here and like what you're hearing, we hope that you subscribe. We publish every Wednesday. If you're interested in more articles written by our staff writers here at the Tiger Times, feel free to check out our Apple News channel, which can be found by searching CFHS Tiger Times, and there you can find your daily dose of school news. I'm here along with our sports editors, Emma Livingston and Brett Rodusky, advisor Mr. Casey, and of course our producer, William Bazone. This is your editor-in-chief, Maggie Mills, saying thank you for listening, and we hope to see you next week with another episode of The Growl.